Korea 2 years ago. And it hasn't been 2 years yet. On February 15th, it'll be my two-year mark. And I'll be very honest with you. When I came to this country, I wasn't doing well very spiritually. I was actually doing very bad. And so I kind of looked forward to coming to Korea. New start, new beginnings. See, I'm from Chicago, and I've been in Chicago for about 30 years. And so people knew me in Chicago. I served as a youth pastor. Some people would even say that I had a good spiritual reputation. A lot of people in Chicago don't even know me as Bernie. They know me as Pastor Bernie. But the reputation I had and the life that I lived often were at odds. So you could imagine how excited I was to come to this country and start fresh. To go to a church that no one knows me. You know, to be a little bit anonymous, to slip in, to slip out. Don't have to have people really get very close to me. And people will know just what I tell them. And it was kind of exciting to be halfway across the world where people didn't know a lot about me. And so when I came here, when I came to this church, I'll be very honest, it was a very selfish attitude. My attitude was this: Lord, I have served you for so many years. Because I have. Back in Chicago when I was a youth pastor, sometimes I would preach 3 times a week. I would meet with students. I led people to Christ. I would stay up late nights doing prayer meetings. I would have struggles here and there. And I really felt like when I came to this country, it was my time to rest. Our marriage wasn't going very well when we first got here, so I wanted to focus a little bit on that. I worked a lot of hours. I still work a lot of hours, and I felt like this is my time to just spend time with my kids. People would understand. Lord, truly you would understand. I have 3 small kids. And so I didn't want to serve Nations Church. I wanted to be served. And it was a great match. You see, the Reeds, they want to serve. The Harrises, they want to serve. And I want to be served. So it was a match made in heaven, right? They could do all the work. They could set up the chairs. They could fold the programs. They could do everything. Stay here early and stay here late. God will bless them, and this is my time to just kick back because, Lord, I'm not here for very long. I'm only in Korea because my job sent me here, and you know that I'll be going back. And I felt like I didn't really have to invest. But the Holy Spirit, man, sometimes he really bothers me, you know? Amen. He really bothers me. And he really did this time. He did a number on me. The verse that I want to share is 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. It's a command. It's not an easy one, but it's a command. That if we are part of the body of Christ, we are called to use our gifts. And think about this. It's to be a steward of God's grace. That means my gifting is the package in which God will deliver his grace to people. And that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit really bothered me with this. And so today, I studied the scriptures. I prayed for you. I prayed for me. And I really came up with 3 reasons why we don't serve. 3 reasons why we're not serving actively in Nations Church. But more than that, I want to give you 3 reasons why we should. Okay? Now, for your type A personalities, you're going to be bothered because I'm not going to go in direct order. I'm going to talk about why we don't serve. And then you'll have to jump to the second page, the second half of your page. And by the way, does everyone have one of these sheets? If you don't, you can lift your hands and somebody will get that to you, okay? So if you don't have one, just lift your quick hands and somebody will get that to you, okay? So we'll talk about why we might not serve and then what the Bible says and why we ought to serve. Okay, you with me? Okay. The first reason of why we don't serve is we may say to ourselves, our talents are too small. Our talents are too small. Matthew 25, 16 and 18. It's a passage that I'm sure many of us are familiar with. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. You guys familiar with this parable of the talents, right? You know, when I read this passage back in high school, I wished the parable was switched. I kind of wished that the story went like this. The guy who got 5 talents, he hid it. And the guy who got 1 talent, he took that 1 talent, made 1 more, and he was rewarded, right? That losers like me, with not a lot to give, can take the 1 gift that we have, and we put it to work, right? Because that's the American dream, right? Nothing to something. We take 1 little gift, we make 1 more out of it, and then God blesses us. But then you wonder, why? Why did the parable develop like this? Perhaps it's because this is the way that many of us work. That it's those of us who have seemingly small talents, that's our propensity. That's generally what we tend to do, is those of us with small talents to bury them. Don't want to embarrass my wife here, but she's an awesome singer. She's a good singer, okay? And if I had a talent like that, I could use that one. I could stand up here, sing, because that's a beautiful talent, right? I would make CDs and concerts and all this other stuff. Because that's a talent that you could really use. Some of us may look at Pastor John. He can preach, amen? And we may say, look, man, if I had a talent like that, I would definitely use that one. We see Pastor Jack out in the Himalayas, starting an organization, saving tons and tons of people. If I had a talent like that, I could use that. But we may ask ourselves, Lord, my talent is so small. There's not much I can do with this. I don't have a lot of talents, but I can swing dance. I can swing dance, okay? It's not as showy as some other gifts and talents. It's not like preaching or leading organizations. But for a guy my size, the moves I can do, it's amazing, okay? And this last focus group that I led a swing dancing focus group, there were others in that group that were better dancers than me. They really were. But I was able to use my small gift to bring blessings to others. And that's the next point. You see, the reason why we should serve is because God does big things with small gifts. He does big things with small gifts. John chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? You guys know the story, right? There's 5,000 men, probably 15,000 people that were hungry, listening to the sermon of Christ. And they were, and so what did Jesus do? He knew exactly what he was going to do, but he asked his disciples, what should we do? And Andrew says, there's a little boy with just a few pieces of bread, a couple fish. And I love how he ends it, right? But how far will they go among so many? Now, it's comical because here we have Andrew speaking to the Son of God who made this world, right? Saying, Lord Jesus, what can you do with a few breads and a couple fish, right? He's probably getting joked about right now from the other disciples. Hey, Andrew, remember when you told Jesus, how can you possibly feed 5,000? I mean, it's kind of a comical scene, isn't it? That we would go before the Lord and say, what can you do with these few pieces of bread and small fish? Well, you could feed 5,000. What can I do with my swing dancing? Bring a couple dozen people in closer fellowship. What can you do with your ability to fold chairs? Maybe if there's a few of us that came early morning to fold chairs, maybe that Sunday morning, Pastor John could spend more time in prayer and fellowship with the Lord, preparing his sermon instead of setting up chairs. Perhaps if some of us were a little bit detail-oriented, clean freaks, we could stay around Sunday evenings, making sure that the classrooms are spotless. So it really bolsters our relationship with GSIS. What can we do with small little gifts? By ourselves, not much, but with God, a lot of things. Amen? When I was a freshman in college, I went to a Christian concert. And at the end of the concert, there was this African-American brother. And he sang this rendition of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." But it's not the way you and I sing it, right? I mean, his vocal cords went all over the place, right? It was beautiful, right? And as I was listening to him singing, you see all the ladies in the concert, their hearts were swooning. All the guys were thinking, "I wish I had a voice like that," right? And that's exactly what I thought. I thought, "Lord, if only I could sing like that." And I'll tell you, at that concert, God really spoke to me. You know what he said? And this was years and years and years ago. But this is what the Lord told me during that time when this guy was singing. He said, "Bernie, instead of saying, 'I wish I had a gift like that,' he taught me this, that my prayer should be, 'Lord, let me use my gift as powerfully as he uses his gift.'" See, when we see other Christian leaders, these spiritual titans, doing all these great things for God, let us not be envious of their gifting. Let us, quote unquote, envy how God has used their gifts, and let that be a model to us that our gifts could be used just as effectively. Because here's the cool thing about the parable of the talents. Remember when the guy made 5 more talents? What was his reward? "Come and share in your master's happiness." And the guy who made 2 talents, what was his reward? Exactly the same thing. You see, in heaven, 5 equals 2. If a man is given 5 talents and he makes 5 more, he's rewarded. If he's given 2 talents and he makes 2 more, it's the same reward. Whether I'm Billy Graham or I'm some man in the corner praying for lives to be saved, as long as we're faithful with the big or small gifts, God is pleased, and he rewards equally. Amen? The second reason that we give on why we don't serve the church is because we feel so inadequate. We feel so inadequate. I think Moses is a great example of this. You see, in Exodus chapter 3, this is when Moses is in front of the burning bush. He just gives excuse after excuse. In verse 11, really captures it. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And perhaps we can relate to Moses. I know I could. Who am I? Who am I to serve you? I lack in abilities, I lack in training, I just lack all around. What can I do? Look at my life. But you know what the problem of asking questions like, "Who am I?" You know what that problem is? The problem is the focus is on us, and it's not on God. And so the Bible teaches, to combat that thinking, the next point is that the Bible teaches us that it is God who works through us. It is God who works through us. And it's beautiful. In verse 14 and 15, it says, God said to Moses, in response to Moses saying, "Who am I?" This is God's response. "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name who shall call me from generation to generation." Do you know what God says when every time we say, "Lord, who am I?" His response is, "Who am I?" I am. And I am is the most complete description of who God is. It is not, I am powerful, I am loving, I am jealous. Those things limit God. It is, I am. The great I am is calling you. So how dare we go before the Lord and say, who am I? When he says, I am. Because when an inadequate person surrenders his life to the Almighty I am, great things happen. You see, God uses the inadequate. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I believe that when God uses weak people like you and me, it makes his strength even bigger. That's why Gideon was only asked to bring 300 people, right? In Judges chapter 7. Why? Because when the 300 defeat all of Midianites, who gets the glory? God does. That is why in 2 Corinthians 4, he describes us as jars of clay with a treasure inside. That the treasure, the I am who is inside, the who am I's, there's still value. If you don't believe me, let me give you a chronological list of people God used in the Bible. By any of our definitions, these were inadequate people. Let me just give you this list. Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer and Jacob was a liar. Leah, she was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan was divorced. She was a divorced woman many times. Zacchaeus was too small. And Lazarus, he was dead. God is in the habit of using inadequate people. Amen? Let me share with you a little story. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Each hung on each end of a pole which he carried across his neck. And one of the pots had a crack in it while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house. But the crack pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots of water in his master's house. You see, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfection and miserable that it was able to only accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. I am so ashamed of myself, and I apologize to you. Why? Asked the water bearer. What are you ashamed of? I've been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all this work and you don't get full value for your efforts, the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, as we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. Indeed, as the hill went up, the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wild flowers, but this was only on the side of the path, and it cheered it up some. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it leaked out half its load. So again, it apologized to the bearer for its failure. And the bearer said to the pot, did you notice that the flowers were only on your side of your path, but not in the other pot's side? See, that's because I've always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I've been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house. I think God is strong enough to use inadequate people. Amen? You know, when I was talking about Moses and the burning bush, that's a very personal story to me, because one of the excuses Moses gave was that he was a stutterer. Okay, do you guys know what stuttering is? The reason it's personal to me is because I had a severe stuttering problem. When I was in elementary school, once a week I was taken out of class to go to a speech pathologist. It was very, very embarrassing. What made it worse is that my nickname when I was growing up was Bernie. I had a really bad stuttering problem. I still do. Yesterday, I was driving my car, and when I got to our office, somebody opened the door, you know, knocked on the window, and I had to lower it, and I couldn't get the words out because I have a stuttering problem. I do. I hide it well, but I have a stuttering problem. Growing up, when people would call my house, I'd pick up the phone, and all you'd have to say was hello, but I couldn't. And I would just hang up the phone. I remember growing up, you know, when we had classroom, right, time, and you'd get the book in the beginning of the year, and you had to call out the number, right, like you're 45, and even when, and I was S, thank goodness I was S, right, because I was towards the end. Starting from the G's or H's, I'd have to say 45. I just have to stutter it. I'd have to say it. Whisper it, 45, 45. They say, Bernardchen, 45. I mean, every single day was a battle for me. When I have to go to the bathroom, I have to say, can I go to the bathroom? Can I go to the bathroom? Can I go to the bathroom? Can I go there? And then when she would say, and sometimes I couldn't get it out, so I just sat back down. Couldn't go to the bathroom. So that's kind of how I grew up. Had a really bad stuttering problem. What can God do with a guy with a severe stuttering problem? He can call him to come up here and to preach to all of you the transforming power of God's grace. If there's any of you that say, Bernie can speak well, please make your next thought, praise God, because this is not his ability, but it's God's. So if God can use me, a stuttering, scared, swing-dancing guy, he can use you. Because God loves using cracked pots to bring beauty into this world. Amen? Amen. Lastly, the reason why we may not want to serve is we say, because I have failed so many times. I have failed so many times. I don't think anybody in the Bible knows this better than Peter. And you all know what I'm talking about, right? Matthew 26, verse 75. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. You know the story, right? Jesus, even, you know, when he said to Jesus, even if everyone else falls away, I will be with you. I will follow you to the grave, right? And I believe at that time, Peter believed it with all his heart. But one after another, he denied Christ. Can't imagine what that's like. I mean, I've done some pretty horrible things in my life, but I haven't denied Christ, right? But I still understand exactly what failure feels like. Perhaps you do too. Perhaps you can recall when you first accepted Christ and you were so excited. And you had all these grand plans of what you're going to do for God. That was plan A, right? and you fall flat on your face. You got into some really deep sins. What happens? Well, God is gracious. He's merciful. He gives you plan B. So you take plan B and you try to be as faithful as possible, but the demons of the past come and visit you again and you fall. You get into an addiction. You have some traumatic thing happen to you, or you do something traumatic to somebody else and you fail. Maybe you come back to God and He gives you plan C. You get back on the horse, and not that much long after, you fall back again. So what do? You know what I do? You thank God for a big alphabet. And after Z, you go to Kiok, you know? Because God is in the habit of giving you more and more chances, right? It wasn't a coincidence that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. The exact number of times that he denied Christ is the exact number of times that he asked if he loved him. I can guarantee you that if Peter fell four times, he would have asked Peter four times. Because God is in the habit of using failed people. And that's the point, that God uses broken lives to reach his broken people. Two people stand up that were really used in the New Testament. Peter, who denied Christ not once or twice, but three times, and Paul. And we all know Paul lived a perfect life, right? You kidding me? He would be on the last of my list to be used. He murdered Christians. But God uses broken lives to reach his broken people. I love this verse, 1 Timothy 1:15-16. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. I don't think Paul was trying to be humble when he said, "Of whom I am the worst." I believe he really thought he was the worst, right? And this verse gets to me because I feel like this too. I know the sins that I've done. I know the things that I've struggled with. If there was a screen behind me that showed you the things that I've done in my life, I couldn't stand before you. There's no way. Because I have failed so many times, and I can say that if Christ Jesus can save me, Bernie Shim, the worst of sinners, that he could save you. That perhaps the reason why God likes to use failed people like the Samaritan woman, I mean, come on, you can't get much worse than her, is because we are glorious advertisements. If God can save me, and look at me, he could do this to you. In a remote village in India, there's a long tradition of great weavers. These weavers make these beautiful, large, and ornate rugs. And in each town, there's a master weaver. It's a master weaver. And he crafts these beautiful rugs, these beautiful masterpieces. And the master weaver, he has to teach his trade to the next generation, so he has these apprentices, right? And these apprentices, they're not as good as a master weaver, so they make smaller rugs, less complicated designs. But because they're apprentices and not master weavers, they invariably make mistakes. Maybe it was supposed to be star, square, but they add two stars in a row, right? And they ruin this little rug. But the master weaver takes this small little ruined rug and then he weaves it into a much larger, more ornate, more beautiful design. A lot more complicated and a much, much larger. Because what the apprentice sees as a mistake, the master weaver sees as one component of a much larger tapestry. You see, God is our master weaver. He takes our imperfections, our flaws, what we view as hopeless situations, our failed lives, and in his sovereign hand, he takes these individual broken lives and he creates this masterpiece. For the foreigners, I don't know why you're here at this church. Maybe you were like me. You want to run away from something. You want to come to a place where no one knew you. Maybe there's some things in the past you've done that you're shameful of. For those of us that live in this country, perhaps we want to escape the typical politics that we've seen at the Korean church, and we saw nations as a refuge. And with our failings, we just want to keep to ourselves because we have these failed little rugs that we think God can't use, but oh, he can. He can take all these individual broken lives and create a church that is on fire for him. And you may say, Bernie, you don't know what I've done. You're right. And you don't know what I've done. But it doesn't matter what we've done. Only thing that matters is what Christ has done. Amen? That before me, I don't see just broken lives, pieces, shards of glass. I see a mosaic where God can take individual failings, things that are broken, things that the world would say is useless. But God could take this and he can bring glory to himself. You see, here's my challenge to our church. And this is the last point. Is that we need each other, right? So we need to serve. We really do. You know, when we first came to Korea, we spent about 6 months looking for a church. We did. We spent about 6 months looking for a church. It was not an easy thing. And we visited nations for a little while, then we visited other churches. And I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but well, in our search, after we've gone to nations and looked at other places, there was one person who sent me an email from the nations church. Person sent me an email and said, hey, Bernie, hope you're doing well. Hope your search is going well. How are your beautiful children doing? I'll be praying for you. And I remember I forwarded that email to Eugene. I'm not going to say because of that one email is what brought us here, but I'll tell you, in my human mind, that was a huge thing. It's a huge thing. And for me, it's been a real struggle to want to serve in this church. Not because I don't love the church, just because it's a lot easier for me to focus on myself than on God. When Pastor John asked me to preach on January 1st, in my mind, I've already said no. I told Eugene that I wasn't going to preach. But just like the Holy Spirit, wives, they can get to you too, you know? And she's why I said yes. I understand where a lot of you are coming from. This church is just a temporary place. It's our time. There's other people that can serve and they're doing a good job. I just want to blend in the background. Bernie, my talents are so small. As a person, I am so inadequate. And you have no idea how many times I failed. But the great I am is calling us to serve. The great I am is asking, commanding us to use whatever gift you have received, big or small, to serve others, to serve this church. Why? Because you are stewards of God's grace. And we have a calling, an obligation to set aside our excuses, to forget our inadequacies, and focus on Christ and serving Him and serving His beautiful body, His beautiful body of Christ. Let's pray. I purposely ended a little bit earlier just because I'd like us to spend a few minutes just reflecting and just praying. And I don't know if some of you feel offended or I got too personal. And like I said in the beginning, this is a 2-year journey for me. And it hasn't been an easy one. You know, there's been many times I met with Pastor John just weeping in front of him, just ashamed of who I am, feeling like I can't offer to God because of what I've done or because of my limitations. And there was, you know, a couple people that last time I shared, you know, just thanked me and said, "Bernie, thanks for sharing." And it meant a lot, not because it fed my ego, not because of any of these external things, but because it was as if God was saying, "See, I could use you." And so I want to surrender my life to Him. And I want to be able to say, "Lord, whether it's to preach, whether it's to pick up garbage, whether it's to clean a toilet or to give a ride, to lift up a prayer, to knit scarves, to donate a few dollars, I want to serve this church." Because God has called us. And I believe He's challenging us. Surrender your broken lives to me. And let's see what we can do. So join me. And let's go before the Lord. Confess to Him our sin of not using our gifts and talents, because I believe it is a sin. I believe it's selfish. I believe I was selfish. We will have time to rest, but not now. Now is a time to work. Do not say four months more, and then the harvest. Look now, the harvest is ready. Who will go out to my harvest field? Lord, here am I, send me. That instead of us asking, "Who am I?" we say, "Here am I. Use me." And so let's get practical. Let's take stock of what you can do. Maybe it's to sing. Maybe it's to swing dance. You know, I would love for a Sunday morning for Pastor John to come to church and he goes straight to a room and all he does is pray. All he does is prepare his heart. All he does is just worship before the Lord before he preaches. I would love for Sunday afternoons and evenings for our pastors to be able to meet the broken lives that God has brought to this church instead of checking the classrooms. I would love for there to be an army of volunteers to pick people up. Even though gas is expensive and traffic can be hairy, we still do it. Because that is our gift. And that is our calling. So whether you have 1 or 2 or 5 talents, whether your reputation is strong, whether your pot is cracked, let's go before the Lord. Give Him our lives. And dare to see what God can do with broken lives. Let's take a few minutes and just pray through this. I think one area that God really wants us to serve each other is in the area of relationships. If you're like me, struggle with loneliness, if you're a foreigner, it's easy to see why. If you're a Korean-speaking person, it's easy to feel a little neglected, I think, at this church. And so I think we really need to invest in relationships, and this may mean joining a focus group, even though you may not really want to at first. It may mean taking a few extra seconds to exchanging emails during the greeting time. Maybe it means sending a random note, just encouraging each other. But I personally feel like as a church, we could really step up in this area, relationships.